Assalamu alaikum. You're listening to the Qalb Institute podcast, Companions of the Quran. This Ramadan, Qalb is committed to provide education and programs to all aspects of our local community as well as across the world. To help in this effort and invest in your Sadqa Jariyah, visit supportqalb.com and help us expand our efforts. Jazakallah khair and thank you for your continued support. Assalamu alaikum.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على سيد الرسل وخاتم الأنبياء وعلى آله الأزكياء وأصحابه الأتقياء أما بعد. There is a very famous hadith of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan رضي الله عنه. He narrates from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who seek and also teach the Qur'an. Similarly, there is another riwayah from Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu an. He says, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَعَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنَ فَقْرَأُوهُ. Learn the Qur'an, and then so on, recite it. For the example of the Qur'an, for the one who learns it and acts upon it, is like a musk-filled pouch. Its fragrance spreads everywhere. And the example of the one who learns it and then sleeps on it, meaning doesn't act upon it, is like a pouch of musk that has been tied up. The fragrance is there, but it's not spreading. When it comes to acting upon the Qur'an, reading the Qur'an, learning the Qur'an, teaching the Qur'an, in order for this to be effective, specifically with memorizing the Qur'an, you must follow the correct tartib. There is a methodology to this. Now, if you go to different regions of the world, there are different sequences and methods that are followed for the memorizing of the Qur'an. In some parts of the world, one type of mushaf is used. Another part of the world, another mushaf is used. In some parts of the world, while memorizing the Qur'an, the technique is have the student just recite without any revision. Go through the entire Qur'an, and then once you're done, do it again, and this time correct your mistakes and revise it properly. In some parts of the world, when it comes to memorizing the Qur'an, you will see that they use a lawh, where there'll be a little chalkboard, and a chalk, and they'll give it to the student, and the sheikh will write one verse of the Qur'an, and everyone writes it down, and then they have 24 hours with that verse before they erase it, and they won't see that verse again until maybe someday in their life they actually purchase a copy of the Qur'an. So there are different methods and techniques that are used for memorizing the Qur'an. And today I wanted to share a few tips with you. For those of you who have this desire to learn the Qur'an, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ. And then also for the teachers, those that are looking to help people memorize the Qur'an, these 10 points that I'll share with you today, inshallah, will be beneficial on that front too. The first thing is, once you commit to memorizing the Qur'an, whether it's the entire Qur'an, or if you've made an intention to memorize Surah Yasin, or your goal is to memorize Surah Kahf, Surah Ar-Rahman, or maybe the Qisar, the smaller surahs of the Qur'an. Once you commit, you cannot skip any days. Set your goal. Set your 5 days a week, your 7 days a week, whichever way you're going to go. And you cannot skip any days. The mashayikh and ulama, they say that only that person should miss sabak and miss, you know, attending class or memorizing a new lesson who is so ill that they are incapable of even walking. Otherwise, even if a little, don't have any gaps. Even if a little, just show up, read a little bit, and then go on. Because by missing one day of sabak, the barakah that loses out, that a person misses out on, is equivalent to days of not reciting any lesson to your teacher. So you commit to it. You create a principle. There's no backing out, there's no excuses. That today I had to go to the gym. Oh, today I had to go to a party. You'll see parents whose children are memorizing the Qur'an, they put their social lives on hold. They don't go to gatherings, they don't go to parties, they don't go on you know, frivolous vacations, because they have to stay committed. And this is one of the reasons why the ulama, they say, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ulbisa walidahu taj, that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give the parents of the hafidh a crown, yawm al-qiyamah. Dhu'uhu ahsanu min dhu'i shams. The shine of that crown will be even greater and brighter than that of the sun. Fi buyuti dunya law kanat fikum fama dhannukum billadhi amila bihadha. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if this is the virtue for one that memorized the Quran, recites it, then what about the one that actually does amal on it? How much greater will their reward be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The second thing is, when you commit to memorizing something, your goal is, today I'm going to do 3 lines, 4 lines. It shouldn't be half and half. It should be so fluent on your tongue, it should be so fluent on your tongue as if you are reading Surah Al-Fatiha. No hesitations, no mistakes, no going back and forward, no excessive gaps. Keep going. In order for the memorization part to be easy, before you even start memorizing, one very important tool is to make yourself fluent in reciting the Quran while looking in. If while looking in, you're not able to read the Quran fluently and your nazara isn't good, memorizing the Quran will be difficult for you. We've seen this in students. Parents who push their children to stay a little longer to make their proficiency in reading the Quran better will see their children memorize the Quran at a faster rate. It's when parents become hasty and they start jumping the gun that the child finished off their qaida, they learned the basic letters of the Quran, and then they spent maybe a few months doing juz amma or the 29th juz, and then after that they jump them to memorization of the Quran. Those students suffer a lot. They struggle a lot. Therefore, personally, the tartib, the method that I suggest, is that have your children start recognizing the letters and putting these together somewhere around the age of 4 and 5. You don't need to be strict with them, keep it loose. Just get them to memorize ta'rif al-huruf. Understand, this is alif, this is ba, fatha, dhamma, kasra. This is how you put letters together. They do not need to be reading the Quran until the age of 7. Give them 2-3 years, aram, so let them go through the qaida, they finish it once, go through it a second time. Now at the age of 7 until 10 or even 9, try to see if in that period you can get them to complete 2 or 3 recitations of the Quran. The first one will be long, the second and third will be much smoother. Once the child reads through the Quran 3 to 5 times, their fluency will pick up. Their tajweed and makharij will settle in. So the teacher, tajweed and makharij, refers to the pronunciation and the pronunciation of the letters, and also the different etiquettes that are involved, idhar, ghunna, ikhfa. All of these different etiquettes that are involved in pronunciation will also become solid. So now when the child does come to memorizing, the teacher won't have to focus so much on them reciting properly. Rather, the focus can be on getting them to recite in a solid manner, where they are making fewer mistakes, and they're helping them in retaining it by working them through repetition. Start the Quran when the time is right. And then when you do start, as you're memorizing, you know, memorize it in a way where you're able to read it with fluency and no hesitations at all. The third thing is that when you have any mistakes that your teacher points out, be sure to mark them. Don't be a boss and say, oh, I figured it out. I know what it is. It's all in here, locked away. That person who does all of their finances in their brain and has no spreadsheet is going to really crash. That's what's going to happen with your Quran. You need to mark your mistakes clearly. And even within that, if there was a mistake that you made in your sabak, mark it. And then if you make a mistake in your revision, mark that separately in a different color, in a different symbol. And then the sabak mistake, rather than just letting it linger around there, once you've cleared that mistake, remove it. So you move on and you know which mistakes need to be given attention to. The fourth thing the ulama, they say, is that when you do have a mistake, to make sure you don't get caught in that mistake and it doesn't stay with you for the next 15 years of your life, when a mistake is pointed out, try to repeat it 100 times. Like at tasbih, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. Choose those few words. أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا Or is it لَا يَعْقِلُونَ شَيْئًا Now you have to know which one it is. So now you have to go through that again and again and remind yourself, أَوَلَوْ كَانَ آبَاؤُهُمْ And you read the ayah and you read it again and you read it again 100 times so it settles in your mind. I once heard someone saying to me that in their culture they would say that when you want to memorize something, خَمِّس And what that means is repeat it 500 times. They say if you wanted to memorize something, what would they do? Repeat that statement, repeat that thing how many times? 500 times. They would sit there and repeat it again and again and again, putting it to their memory. You know, talk to people from back home, they'll tell you how they were made to memorize the timetable, right? And how they were made to memorize the periodic table. They make them repeat it again and again and again with zero mistakes or hesitations. The next thing the ulama point out that's very important, and I've saw my teachers really emphasizing this, that have a specific copy of the Quran that you use for this journey. Instead of jumping to this print and that print and your baba's copy of the Quran, mama's copy of the Quran, and brother's copy of the Quran, have your own copy of the Quran. So you build a personal relationship with it. There's a journey of the Quran that you have. I still have my copy of the Quran that I memorized at home. It's there. It's the Quran that has my entire journey in there. It has the tears where I cried, those pages are a little wrinkly. It has my teacher's marks there, the red pen mark, the blue pen mark, the black pen mark, how much I recited, what date I recited it on, where my teacher made me read it again, it's all marked there. My whole journey with the Quran is very carefully documented in that one copy of the Quran. And the other benefit of this is, and this leads to another point, the ulama, they say, choose a print of the Quran that is suitable to you. So if you're someone who is more comfortable with a particular khat or a font of Arabic, then read in that one. Sometimes people like letters that are more bloated and bigger, so it's easier for them to recognize. Then read in something like that. Read in a copy or print that you select and choose, and then stick with that one all the way through. Likewise, when it comes to memorizing the Quran, there are two things that are important. In addition to memorizing, be sure to revise regularly. And revision happens at two fronts. There is something that we refer to as like the immediate revision, and that involves repeating what you recited this week and this month. Many times what mashayikh will do is that they'll tell their students that if you're memorizing the fourth juz, for example, no matter what page of the fourth juz you're on, after you finish reciting your sabak, your new lesson, now you need to recite the entire fourth juz. You're taking your Quran from the short-term memory and depositing it in your long-term memory, that you recite it again and again. Our teachers would never let us move forward to the next juz until you could recite that particular chapter with zero mistakes. Dr. Ismail, Allah arhamhu, he was the principal of the school where I memorized the Quran. And his policy was that anyone that finished a juz had to recite it to him. All the students from across the school would line up and they would book appointments to read it to him, no matter who they memorized it with. He would verify the student read it with zero mistakes, and if you read it with zero mistakes, as a gift, he would give $1. I have all those $1 till today. They're in a small little box at home, and I show my kids that these were the gifts that my sheikh gave me when I completed every juz that I recited to him. And then you had permission to go to the next juz. And then the second part of the revision is what they call the manzil. This is like the more long form revision. So if you've memorized 7 chapters of the Quran, you're reading your new lesson in the 7th one, you're revising the immediate part of the 7th that you've memorized, and now the manzil involves revising from 1 to 6. That longer form repetition, so you don't forget any of it. 2 more things that I'll say. Number 9, try your best to memorize whatever you are memorizing with one teacher. If you're going to do Surah Yasin, do it with one teacher. So they can walk you through one methodology, hold you accountable, they know where your strengths are, they know where your weaknesses are, and they can help you grow. And the last thing, the teacher should make sure that the students desire and drive excitement for memorizing the Quran never dips and reaches zero. You must keep motivating the student. Keep sharing with them virtues. Make it fun for them. Make it exciting for them. If you see they're exhausted, lean off a little bit. And then when you see that they have more energy, push them a little more. but keep the student motivated. And I say this to the parents as well. If you have children that are memorizing the Quran, memorizing the Quran is probably the most complicated thing they will do in their lives. It's very difficult. It's very stressful. Because it's a zero-sum game. Either you have it memorized or you don't have it memorized. That's how it works. Either you know it or you don't know it. That's a lot of stress. It's difficult. Be by their side to coach them. As someone whose son completed the memorization of the Quran, I'm telling you, most of my role as a father was a coach. I was just there to cheer them on. When I saw they were struggling, I would go sit with them and give them himma and give them hope that you can do this. And when I saw they were doing good, I would just take them out to eat and buy them gifts and get them excited to get the next dosage of energy they needed to complete the task for the next day. These are 10 basic advices that I have for those that desire to memorize the Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for all those that are on this journey. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the companions of the Quran. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.